Turn with us in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33. Thank you for standing. We need to reverence God's Word. And I'm going to preach. The title of the message tonight is The Immutable Word of God. And this is very appropriate. Begin reading with verse 14, Jeremiah 33. And folks, I get just a little bit stirred up when I read God's Word. God's Word is the most exciting thing in all this world. God's exciting, folks. We ought to reverence Him, but God is exciting. And this book that He has given us is exciting. But anyway, the Bible says, beginning with verse 14, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." This is God's promise. God said, "I will." God's going to do it. "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Of course, I believe this is talking about the millennium. Folks, we got government, we got laws, but our government is corrupt.
Right.
Yep. Laws are unkept.
Right.
We are next to anarchy.
Yep.
in this nation. This is very disturbing to me. But God has promised Israel that He would give them a king. Of course, we know Him as King Jesus.
Right.
Yes. And Jesus is going to rule in the land of Israel. And He's going to rule 1,000 years, and you and I are going to rule with Him.
Yeah.
We are going to be there. May even be here. I don't claim to know everything, but I know this: Jesus is going to reign. God's people will be reigning with Him. "In those days," saith "in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifices continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and priests my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant and the Levites that minister unto me." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. God said, if you can stop it from, stop the sun from rising in the east, if you can stop the sun from setting in the west, in other words, if you can stop daylight from coming, then my covenant with Israel and my covenant with David shall be broken. Now, who do we know that can do that? No one can do that. If we can stop the stars from shining at night, then God's covenant with David will be broken. God's Word is immutable. It is unchangeable. We cannot change the Word of our Heavenly Father. If we reject it, it rejects us. If we ignore it, it ignores us. If we challenge it, we will be defeated. But if we believe it, it will save our soul from a devil's hell. I love what the psalmist David had to say over in the book of Psalms 138. And he just poured out his soul to God. I mean, he just lifted up praise and glory and honor unto the Heavenly Father. And you know, it's good. I saw you worshiping tonight. Nothing better than worship, folks. Nothing better than getting in tune with God and let God flood our soul and our hearts and thrill us through our being. And you know, I said that David poured out his heart. I like to pour out my heart to God. But you know, there are times that I just can't say what I want to say. I cannot put into words what I feel in my soul and in my heart. But I'm thankful for what Paul wrote. And I'll go back to Psalms in just a moment. But Paul wrote, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, we may be in a situation or praising God. God may be speaking to us and we cannot express the words that we want to say. The Holy Spirit takes over and directs them to the heart of God. But David said over in Psalms 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. David was praising the Lord here. But notice what he says about his word. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. David was praising God for his word. And then he says God magnified his word even above that of his name. Folks, there is no greater name. There's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. I love to hear the name of Jesus. We've got a man in our church. He's about my age. He's old. But every time the choir sings and they're praising the Lord, this man stands up and shouts. When he hears the name of Jesus, it just thrills his soul. And folks, David was magnifying, glorifying God, and God magnified his word even above that of his name. That word magnify means to increase the apparent size of an object. And I've noticed the more I get in God's word, the more that it grows, the bigger that it gets, and it's all encompassing. I mean, it covers more than I can imagine or more than I can dig into and read. But one thing before we get really into the message. God always has the last word. Always. Our youngest daughter, she was bent and determined. She was going to say the last word. But God always has the last word. The unchangeable word of God. They're just, when God says it, that is it. And we need to take it and believe it. Now, God's word cannot be changed concerning the origin of men. It cannot be changed. And I know what scientists say, but scientists can say what they want to say. Archaeologists can dig into the earth all they want to, and astronomers can study the heavens until their hearts consent. But man came from God. God created man. It all boils down to Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in Genesis 2:27, the Bible says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. We came from God. God created Adam and God created Eve, and we are their descendants. Every man and woman, boy and girl upon the face of this earth are descendants of Adam and Eve. We didn't come from no tadpole. No tadpole jumped out of a mud hole and became a man. No monkey fell down out of a tree, shed his tail, and evolved into man. Man is made in the image of our Heavenly Father. We cannot change it. Folks, that's the unchangeable Word of God. It cannot be changed. And then the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27. God said that. Man has always tried to change that. But man cannot change it. This is the immutable Word of our Heavenly Father. Now, we are going to die unless Christ comes back first. I'm not looking to that time. I'm ready for that day. God has saved me, miraculously saved me. God's done a miracle in my heart, and so He saved me. And I'll just tell you a couple of other things God done for me. When I was 6 years old, back then we had telephones that you had to pick up the receiver and tell the operator what number that you wanted to dial or you wanted her to ring. And I stuttered so bad that the operator could not understand the number that I was giving her. And who in the world would have thought I'd ever got in front of a congregation and preached the Word of God? That's a miracle of my Heavenly Father. In fact, I remember when I was in about the fourth grade, I had a teacher, and I stuttered bad, folks, and I had a teacher to mock me. And you talking about cutting me to the bone, that almost killed me. But listen, folks, God is in the miracle business. And one day man will die. There's nothing that we can do about it. God told Adam, He said, if you partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And Adam partook of that fruit. The Bible says in Genesis 5 that he lived 930 years, but he died. He died that very same day. 1,000 years is as a day. And a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. You see, God said that you told Adam that he would die. But then there's something else God told us. God said that he was going to send a Savior. He told us about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God promised Eve a seed. And that seed was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God promised us a seed. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Isn't that good tonight? God is with us here tonight in this house of worship. Thank God, Jesus said, where two or three are met together, there am I in the midst of thee. God promised us a Savior. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. Well, let me say this first. The devil didn't want Jesus to be born. All through the Bible you will find that the devil was combative, that he was warlike, that he done everything in his power to stop the birth of Christ. But let me give you one thing that perhaps you've never thought about before. You see, Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. And, of course, you know about Caesar declaring that all the house of Israel should be taxed. But Mary was 9 months old with a child. And I forgot exactly how long. I believe it's at least 30 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Maybe 60. But anyway, she didn't have a limousine to carry to the hospital. They didn't have super highways. They didn't even have paved sidewalks. It was rough terrain that Mary and Joseph had to travel over. And it would have done the devil good to see that Mary on her way miscarriage or gave birth to that baby on that way to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. God protected. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, God's word is unchangeable. God's word is immutable. God promised a son, God gave a son. God promised a Savior, God gave a Savior. Then in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Are there any families here tonight that doesn't have some kind of issue going on in your home or maybe in a relative's home that is not troubling to your soul? I mean, we are battling powers and principalities. We are literally battling the devil every day, and He's seeing to it that he gives us as much trouble as he possibly can. Job said a man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And your pastor and myself and preachers are not exempt from that. Friday night we were going home. It was kind of late. And I thought an issue there had been settled. And all of a sudden the news was broke to me that it was not settled. In fact, it had gone totally the opposite direction, and it was almost like somebody cutting my heart out. Folks, listen. Even Christians are of a few days and full of trouble. God's word is immutable. Then, he's coming after the bride, the church. Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm coming after my church. I'm coming after my bride. And we're all familiar with 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For God himself, for the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And folks, that's encouraging to me. I know you're like me. You got loved ones. I got parents. I got two sisters. I got a brother. I got people that were close to me that have already gone on to be with the Lord. But it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the clouds or in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he says, wherefore comfort ye one another. Oh, listen, folks. There's trouble on every side. But there's joy when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming for his church. Hebrews 9:28, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Think about that. Are we looking for him tonight? Jesus Christ is surely coming. I don't know when, but I believe it will be soon. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while he that shall come and will not tarry. When the Father says it's time, Jesus will be on his way. That's the unchangeable word of God. Jesus is coming back. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I see some of you out there are like me, gray-headed, got glasses on. I still got my teeth. And I still get around pretty good. But it sure will be good to get a body that you get up with every day that don't hurt. That will function like it's supposed to. That don't get indigestion when you eat pizza. Folks, listen. God's going to change this body. What a glorious body that God is going to give us. Hallelujah. He knows how to bless his children. Amen. And we have the immutable word of God on it. God's promises are immutable. God's promises. How wonderful it is to pick up this book and to look in this book and see the promises that God has made. God has promised that Jesus is going to reign on the throne of David. Won't that be a glorious time when righteousness shall reign? When all ungodliness will not be tolerated. And the laws of the land will be obeyed. And the devil's crowd will have to bow down. Brother, I like the scriptures that say, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We rode over here from Newnan tonight. And, oh, listen, folks don't even know it's Sunday. They dress anywhere, go any place they want to go, do anything they want to do. But one day, they will bow that knee and they shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. Thank God he's Lord tonight in the hearts of Christians. Oh, listen, God's promises are immutable. 1 John 5:12, he that hath a son hath life. And he that hath not the son hath not life. I was 13 years old when I got saved. But I want to tell you something. God done something here on the inside of that little 13-year-old boy. I mean, things were different. Things had changed. God changed my outlook on life. God gave me a different perspective towards this world. We need to put our trust in Jesus. Then he says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever will. That's just as good as writing our name then there. Whosoever will. Folks, I don't believe in no limited atonement. Jesus Christ, the Bible plainly tells us, for God so loved the world. The world, that's all of us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will. I'm glad that I heard the gospel one day, Brother Ken. My parents were godly parents. They took me to church. I was a good boy when I was growing up. But I wasn't a good boy because of Jimmy. I was a good boy because my daddy would beat the daylights out of me if I wasn't. And I know some kids around our place, folks, that needs the devil beat out of them. I got some grandkids that needs spankings, folks. I tell you, this is a well-ordered church. I seen some folks that I was at a place one time, and before the preacher got up to preach, the preacher stood up and said, "All you youngins got to go to the bathroom." And it looked like the church just rose up and headed to the back. Folks, when I was brought in church, I was brought in and I was set down and I was told to be quiet. Folks, listen, there ought to be discipline in the home. And if there's discipline in the home, there'll be discipline in the church. And if they know to obey at home when they get grown, they'll know to obey the laws of the land. They know that they'll be punished if they break the law. Well, I want to draw this to a conclusion. And I can hear some of you sigh out there now, but the immutable Word of God says that hell is an awful place. Folks, we can take God's word for that. Hell is an awful place. Now, I've been in some bad places. Back when my wife and I first got married, we had to go to Milledgeville to the insane asylum. And probably most of you, y'all are young folks, most of you are. Some of you look where you're getting close to me. But that was a place that took crazy people. And I went down there and I heard wailing and screaming and hollering. And that place just dwelled on my mind for weeks after we left there. But that is nothing compared to what the Bible talks and says about hell. Men are not going to be sitting around a table playing cards and smoking and patting each other on the back and bragging on one another. They're going to be screaming out in agony. Matthew 13 and 42, Jesus said, "There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I've been in places in the hospitals and you have too, where people, I never will forget, in Union Hospital one time, they brought a person out from the operating room. And oh, the groaning, that person was in pain. They were in agony. But Jesus said, "There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Mark 9 and 44, Jesus said, "Where the worm or the soul dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." I cannot imagine spending an eternity in a place like that. God said it. God said that that's an awful place. And we are to avoid it with all that we can muster. We'll trust Him. Hell is a place of indescribable, eternal suffering. And you're familiar with the scripture in Luke 16:23. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." Torment forever and ever. I cannot imagine the darkness that's going to be there in hell. You say, "Well, but there's a flame." And that flame sheds off light. But the Bible says that's going to be a dark place. And I'm sure you've been in places where, well, for instance, up there at Lookout Mountain, you go down into that cave, down in the heart of that mountain. While you're in there, they'll turn out the lights. And you can't see your hand before your face. I don't like darkness. I cannot imagine spending an eternity in darkness. I cannot imagine spending an eternity in loneliness. Loneliness, folks. Never the name of God called on as far as salvation is concerned. My wife and I, of course, we've had an empty nest for some time. We got 6 children. We got about 18 grandchildren, counting the great-grandchildren. But sometimes they don't call. Sometimes they don't come. They're pretty good about it, better than I was to my parents. Sometimes just me and her there. But you know, there's something about children that come in that just adds a sparkle to your home. I love for my children to come. I love for my grandchildren to come. And folks, listen. There's not going to be anybody in hell to comfort. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth and crying and groaning, crying out and cursing. And hell's going to be a lonely place. You ever been to the place that you just seemed like could not get a hold of God? Folks, I've been there when it seemed like heaven was just like brass and my prayers wasn't getting above the ceiling. That's an awful feeling. I cannot imagine an eternity without hearing from God. But I told you about Friday night. And folks, that was the truth, what I said. I don't think it will hurt me anymore. What I heard Friday night, then to cut my heart out of my chest. Now, I was laying there Saturday morning, and my wife and I, we ain't gotten up yet. And normally, I wake up sometime an hour or two before she doesn't. I was just laying there, and I was thinking, well, how in the world am I going to get in a pulpit Sunday? How in the world am I going to be able to go and preach for Brother Ken? My heart's broken. And I don't know what to do. And I wasn't begging God for anything. I was just hurt. I mean hurt. And I thought, boy, how can I continue to pastor a church? Not with this hurting that I got going on here. And I thought, you know, everything had stopped. Everything was over. And I was just laying there. All of a sudden, it just seemed like the world was lifted off of my chest. I got renewed. I got lifted up. And I was wanting to go preach. I mean, I was stirred up and ready to go. You know, the Bible says, James said, but God giveth more grace. Boy, He does. And I'm just glad God came with that bucket full of grace. And I hadn't even asked Him for it. God knew what I wanted. But hell is not going to be like that. It's going to be an eternity forever and ever and ever and ever of sorrow, heartaches, suffering, torments. And we're not going to have very good company. The Bible says in Revelation 19 that the beast and the false prophet He says in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that even the devil himself, all of these, that the devil will be cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. And all the sinners. Folks, this world I can't feel at home in anymore. Oh, listen, I'm longing to see Jesus. But this, we are blessed to be saved tonight. But the lost will spend an eternity with sinners, with the devil himself, with the beast and false prophet. Oh, you got a great fellowship here. And heaven is going to be even better. But there may be somebody here tonight that don't have that assurance. Maybe you got some doubt. Or maybe you just need to pray. Or maybe you've never been saved. Whatever your need is tonight, the unchangeable word is the answer to your every need.